welcome to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. This is Adrian Tuttenham, and I'm going to be your guide as we ramble through a miscellany of sounds from the forgotten past. When the vinyl record became popular in the 1950s, millions of older records were consigned to the junk pile. I'm going to trawl through those records and find out what life was like before vinyl. Let's start with a descriptive piece. This one is called Indian Mail. Indian Mail, played by Orchestra Raymond, a name used by Columbia for a scratch orchestra, although as you could hear, they were all well-rehearsed professionals. We'll be hearing more about Orchestra Raymond in a later programme. By the summer of 1916, morale in this country was very low. Not only were some coastal towns shelled by German battleships, but a fleet of airships was constructed by the Zeppelin Airship Company to drop bombs on inland cities and London in particular. It wasn't until autumn of 1916 that a brave pilot finally succeeded in shooting down a Zeppelin from an aircraft. And slowly, the feeling spread that these monsters in the sky were perhaps more vulnerable than we had supposed. By the beginning of 1917, the Zeppelin menace was beginning to recede. And by May of that year, a propaganda record was issued by Edison Bell to mock the German Zeppelin raids and make them seem like a piece of blundering buffoonery. Whilst the events described in the song did actually take place on various occasions, the gung-ho spirit of it was very far from the truth. here is Harry Bluff singing 10 Little Zeppelins.
Little Zeppelins starting out to start. What a treat for England, said the Kaiser with a laugh. But as the crew were singing the watch upon the Rhine, one met an airman and then there were nine. Nine little Zeppelins sailed along with glee, just to prove the North Sea belonged to Germany. We'll strike a blow at London and sing the song of hate. But one struck a lightning flash and then there were eight. Eight little Zeppelins, their bravery to show, were also very busy dodging enemies below. Never saw the aeroplane climbing up to heaven, but Billy dropped his little bomb and then there were seven. Seven little Zeppelins gaily taking wing, found a lot of searchlights round them in a ring. Thought that Woolwich Arsenal the same they'd surely fix, but one cannon with a cannonball and then there were six. Six little Zeppelins felt the Kaiser's roar, so to settle something had to sally forth. But before their time in England to arrive, one settled in the ocean and then there were five. Five little Zeppelins going back to roost met a little stranger who'd not been introduced. And before their time to murmur wait and see or even say Jack Robinson, then there were three. Three little Zeppelins, you know just what they are, said to our ambition there shall never be a bar. One went to Cuffley and very soon was done, and another went to Potter's Bar and that left one. One little Zeppelin dropped a bomb and then felt he'd settled London and quite a million men. Off to get the Iron Cross quickly took his hook, but broke his back at Dunkirk, and now we'll close the book. In brand new Zeppelin have gone to rest on land or in the sea. The crew all dwell quite safe in, well, the place where they ought to be.
A wonderful piece of First World War propaganda there. 10 Little Zeppelins by Harry Bluff in May of 1917. You're listening to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. Between the two World Wars, one of the standard acts of any variety show was two singers and a piano, or sometimes just one singer at the piano. One of the best loved of these solo entertainers, with a slogan of a song, a smile and a piano, was Norman Long. His songs struck home with ordinary middle-class people, and he was adept at seeing the funny side of day-to-day married life. It's interesting to compare life nowadays with everyday life in his songs of over 70 years ago. Here's one recorded on the 24th of January, 1930, called That Rests Entirely With Me.
Now I hit on a capital notion for getting along with the wife. Well, to give her due, she thought of it too. So now we're quite happy for life. It's really quite awfully simple. I don't know how these things occur. But some things, you see, rest entirely with me, and others entirely with her. Now, for instance, she'll take me out shopping. She says she would like a new fur. Well, whether it's goat or a 100-pound coat, well, that rests entirely with her. But still, it's no use complaining. A bargain's a bargain, you see. While the choice of the fur rests entirely with her, well, the bill rests entirely with me. Now, I can't think what we were doing, and not to think of it before. But it's perfectly clear such a brilliant idea ought to be known more and more. It's really awfully unpleasant to always have rails with a wife. But giving a bit and just taking a bit, well, it's simply the essence of life. Now imagine the middle of winter, the time for big fires and fur. Well, a hot water bottle is put in the bed, and that rests entirely with her. But then if the stopper should loosen, I don't know why these things should be. But without any doubt, when the water comes out, that rests entirely with me. But still we're getting on nicely. We give and we take all the time. And that is the way folks should manage today, for the quarrel is simply a crime. Of course I assist with the children. Well, the up-to-date husband should do. Well, it's really not right to disturb her at night. So, well, I come to her point of view. So when she undresses the baby and says that nobody must stir, she feeds it and then, well, it sleeps, say, till 10, and that rests entirely with her. But then when it starts on its antics and ought to be chucked in the sea, she's sleeping all right, but to finish the night, the kid rests entirely with me. Well, now, I sometimes assist in the kitchen. Well, you know what I mean, I just give the pudding a stir. Well, she's really quite good at arranging the food, so that rests entirely with her. But something goes wrong with the pie crust. It's heavy as heavy can be. So for the rest of the week, I'm unable to speak, because that crust rests entirely with me.
Norman Long there singing That Rests Entirely With Me. This next record is one of the most intriguing and bizarre pieces of classical music I've ever come across. For a start, it's a song from an opera, but is performed on this recording without any singers. The opera is in French, but the words, which we shan't be hearing, are written in nonsense English and should have been sung by characters dressed as a china teapot and cups. I'd better explain that the opera is called L'Enfant et le Sortilège, The Child and the Bewitchment, and it tells the story of a spoilt child who throws a destructive tantrum. Later, in his dreams, the toys and household objects he has damaged come to life and wreak their revenge, thereby curing him of his bad behaviour. The plot of the opera was written in 1917 by the French author Colette de Jouvenel, who then had to find a composer for the music. She chose Maurice Ravel, but it wasn't until March of 1925 that the piece was completed and performed. The first performance, which was given in Monte Carlo, was a great success, but the second, in Paris, was less well received. This recording was made about a year after the first performance and is conducted by Piero Coppola, but I don't know the name of the orchestra or even where it was performing. The disc was marked as a dubbing from another recording, and the factory numbers in the wax have yet to be decoded into any coherent information. So here is Le Fifre Cloque, the dance of the China tea set, from L'Enfant et le Sortilège. Thank you. Fever Clock, The Dance at the China Tea Set, from L'Enfant et le Sortilège, by Colette and Ravel, played in 1926 by an unknown symphony orchestra conducted by Piero Coppola. You're listening to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. Probably spurred on by radio and sound films, the early 1930s saw a crop of short plays turning up on gramophone records. The next record is a double-sided 12-inch, with the play neatly split into two scenes to fit the two sides. It's written by W.P. Lipscomb, a very clever dialogue writer of the 1930s and 40s, who manages to cram more twists into a 9.5-minute plot than most playwrights get into a whole evening. This is going to be the last record for today, so this is Adrian Tuddenham, looking forward to having your company next week to hear some more about Life Before Vinyl. In the meantime, here is Angela Baddeley in The Safe, a thriller by W.P. Lipscomb. Scene one opens with a young typist looking forward to enjoying her free Saturday afternoon with a man friend.
Is that you, Alfred? There's no one in the office. The boss is gone. You can come in. I've only just got to put these ledgers away in the safe and then we can get off for the afternoon. Did anyone see you come up?
Nobody.
Where was the commissionaire?
Dunno. He didn't see me.
What are you looking at me like that for?
Nothing.
How queer you are.
Am I?
Nothing happened at home, has there?
No, why should it?
Your wife hasn't said anything?
No. Why should she?
Nothing. She looked at me rather queerly the other day. Sure nothing's happened. Well, never mind. I've got you all to myself this Saturday afternoon. Here, help me put these ledgers in the safe, will you?
What'd she want a safe as big as that for?
They used to keep the stock in there, but they don't now. They're afraid of burglars. It's big enough to get right into, isn't it?
Yes. Have you tried it?
Yes, I can get right in. See? Look at me, right inside. Funny you should say that. I was in there today and the door swung to. Yes, swung to and shut tight. The boss looked round for me, and one minute I was in the room, and the next I wasn't. The door shut so quietly, he couldn't think where I was.
Oh. Didn't you shout?
I shouted my lungs out, but he scarcely heard me. I just put these books in. Oh, reach me those, will you?
If he hadn't heard you, you might have been suffocated.
Oh, no, he'd reckoned it out. There's enough air in there to last anyone 15 hours, and by that time the safe would be opened again the next morning. Except on a Saturday, of course.
Except on a Saturday.
Those books go in too. That's the lot. I'll just stack them up inside and we'll be done. Hello. Alfred, it's happened again. That's twice in one day. Open it, Alf. Hold both handles together and turn different ways. Come on, dear, hurry up. We'll never get out unless we get all this done. Both together, I tell you, in different ways. Oh, darling, you are stupid. It's quite simple. Alfred, I believe you did it. Oh, Alfred, don't waste our only afternoon. Alfred, are you there? Alfred, don't tease. Go on, I can hear you laughing. Alfred, I'm getting scared. If anything was to happen to you, if you dropped dead, I'd be left here and nobody would come until tomorrow. Tomorrow's Sunday. I never thought of that. No one would come until Monday. Alfred, let me out. Don't frighten me. Alfred, you've done it on purpose. Let me out. I knew there was something wrong when I saw you. I know what it is. Your Emma's been at you again. She told you she'd had a letter, an anonymous letter about me and you. You think I wrote it just to give us away. I didn't. I didn't. I swear I didn't. Let me out! If I did, I'll make it all right. I'm sorry, Al. Sorry. I wanted her to know. I wanted her to be done with you. I wanted you. Oh, I was mad when I wrote that letter. How did you guess I wrote it? I swear I'll do anything to make it right with her. Help! Help! It's murder if you leave me here. They'll hang you. Let me out! Let me out! I know you're only trying it on. I've been properly frightened, Alfred. Oh, be good. Let me out now. No one saw him coming. No one knows. It's happened before today. It'll look like an accident. It's stifling in here already. They'll find me here. Dead. Ah! It isn't fair. It isn't fair. I only did it because I wanted you. Alfred, let me out. I'll make it all right between you and Emma somehow. I'll crawl on my knees, sir. I swear I will. On my knees. Don't go. Don't go. Don't go and leave me.
This blow lamp's weak. We'll never cut through this safe.
Danger signal. Spotted us, haven't they?
No fear. Get back to the safe. Stop! Here's Bob.
Here, you. How long's it going to take to break into that safe?
Take an hour. Acetylene's weak.
Then drop it and try the stick.
Dynamite. You'll rouse the whole street.
Don't need no rousing. Take my word. The police have got wind of the job. Now, I say, blow open the safe, grab the swag, and run for it. Are you game? Well, what's the verdict?
A stick. Got it, Bob?
Yeah, I got it. Now, keep the stairs clear. Bang that lump of lead against the charge. Tight. Now, prop it up firm.
Detonator? Who's got it? Are you right?
Yeah, got a match. Short fuse, innit? Now, stand clear. I'm going to blow it. Stand clear. She's going. Now, get to it.
Go on, come on. Look at...
Go on. Look here. There's a woman in the safe.
Is it a trap?
If it is, it's baited with dead meat, boy. Come on, get the goods.
Why?
It's empty. We're done.
Look out. They're coming. They've heard us.
Down the back, quick.
They're in the house.
Go on, bolt for it.
They're out in the back, too.
Hands up. Drop that gun. Drop it. There. There are four of us here, and we'll shoot it. Hello? What's this? Girl. Murder, eh?
Ain't nothing to do with us, I swear it. We blew the safe and she was inside.
What, locked in? Yeah, that's a good tale.
Somebody done it before we got here.
I should say so.
To fetch that fellow we caught, leaving here an hour ago.
Oh, you're there, are you? Well, you recognize your pals?
It's nothing to do with me.
Or that, either.
What's this?
We thought you'd know. You were here last. Last but one, anyhow.
You can't put it on me. These people killed her. She was all right when I left.
Yeah, that's a good tale. Kissed her goodnight and tucked her up in the safe, I should say so.
He done it. I bet you he done it.
You look out. She moved. She's coming too.
My God.
Yeah, it's one in the eye for you, mate, ain't it? If she ain't dead, maybe she'll say something.
All right, miss, you're all right. There. Now, look round. See anybody in now?
Who's that there? Alfred. It's you. You've come back. Oh, Alfred, thank God. I knew you would.
Who shut you up in the safe, miss? Did he?
Who are you? Police? No, he didn't. The door just swung to and locked me in. It's happened before today. Ask my boss. It did, didn't it, Al?
Yes, it must have.
Well, if you say so, miss. That clears him, of course.
Yeah, if he hadn't done it, why'd he shove it under us so quick? Why was he so queer when you brought him back, Sergeant?
What? You brought him back? He didn't come of his own accord.
No. Why should he?
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. If you hadn't opened the safe, I'd have been left to... Left to...
You still say he didn't set you up and leave you, miss?
Yes. I still say it.
All right, sir. Come on, Jenkins. Get these fellows away now. Can we leave the lady to you, sir?
Of course.
Come on, you.
Alfred, you didn't really go. Not really. You wouldn't have left me there to die.
Hell, I would. Hell, I did. I'm sick of you, and you may as well know.
I cleared you, Alfred. They'd have taken you if I
yes.
hadn't...
You cleared me before them all, so you can't go back on it. That's good. Now you can go, do you see? Go. I've done with you. Who's that?
The sergeant. He was listening.
Yes. I had my ideas about him all along. Come on, you. Sorry, miss.
Oh, Alfred.